Revelation chapter 13. One of the things that I've been blessed by or encouraged by and strengthened by in this summer series for me personally is this powerful reminder that when you study what's going to happen and the prince of the power of the air and the Antichrist and Satan, it answers so many questions about here and now. Many Antichrists are already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already here and so on. And even John, when he stated that ye have heard that there are, John stated that in 98 AD in the last books of the Bible. And that's because he had heard. Paul spoke about it. And Daniel spoke about it. And so much of what we see in this crazy world, we said, just doesn't make sense. What's going on with gender identities and all these crazy notions going at, on the one hand against science and then worshiping science. But it's answered. We see what's behind all the craziness. Revelation 13. And by the way, it's very important to remember that in our last study, something earth-shattering happens in chapter 12. In fact, it's not just earth-shattering, beloved, it's universe-shattering. It is a moment in the future in which for the very first time in all of history, if you will, Satan is permanently cast out and barred from God's presence in heaven. That means that at a certain point in the tribulation, Satan will not only be excluded from heaven, he will also, once he's down, confined to this earth, if you will, be given some increased freedom. Chapter 12, verse 9, look at it before we look at 13. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We know that Satan had access to God in the book of Job, the priest Joshua. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens. No more of that accuser. And ye that dwell in them, the heavens. Woe, however, to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you. Now he's only here, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And again, beloved, this is a critical revelation. In part because it's a reminder, again, that Satan's current role as the accuser goes on. And it's also a reminder that his limitations are very real in our lives. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, one of the things that he did in the Gospels, he reminds us of, you know, Satan is a spirit. That's why you're going to see in a few moments, that's why there is an Antichrist. He has to use a body, someone else's body. He's a spirit. And so he works. He's the prince of power of the air. He's working in the world now. When Jesus came to this earth, did you ever notice in the Gospels that he identifies where Satan's working? In this person and that person. And they would speak to him. And so that showed his authority over them. And this planet becomes his only and final place. The desperation of Satan, knowing the Bible says he's got great wrath because he's out of there forever and he knows he hath but a short time. This is all going to begin in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. And upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, we know who that is, Satan, gave him his power, and his seat, meaning his throne, and great authority. This is a wild beast. And Satan's going to empower him. And the spirit of this Antichrist is already here. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand the meaning as best we can through your help and your word, through the Holy Spirit, what it means for us now tonight. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to begin tonight by noting once again that this portion of Scripture, this and last week, is still part of sort of a parenthetical text that's not given in a very tight, necessarily chronological order. These are visions and descriptions of what is and has been going on in Daniel's 70th week. Daniel prophesied all of this. 7-year period, the 70th week, if you will. It's also called the tribulation period. It's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. And of course, the main character throughout all of this specific period, as far as earth is concerned, is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a man. He is a man who's identified here also as the beast that rises out of the sea. There are two beasts here in chapter 13, and one of them is rising out of the earth. Look at verse 11, you'll see it. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, you note that, like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Obviously, this beast is someone other than the Antichrist, and we're going to study him in the near future when we get to that. The current beast that we're looking at is a man who's one of the most prophesied individuals in all of history. Daniel predicted him in great detail, along with other Old Testament prophets. The Apostle Paul wrote about him, as did Peter and John, and even the Lord Jesus. Jesus, who, for example, said these words, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, and him ye will receive." John 5:43. Well, this is the another that he spoke about. And you know, when you take that statement by the Lord Jesus about Satan's Messiah, it's basically what he's saying, "I come in my Father's name," Satan's Messiah, and you look at it in the light of Revelation 13, it presents this amazing contrast. Always remember, beloved, that Satan is not a creator, but he is an imitator. And just as God became flesh, and just as the Father sent his Son, so too will Satan have one that he sends who is similarly, so to speak, Satan in the flesh. Remember this, the Lord Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. Well, if you look at the description of the Antichrist, you'll notice the exact same thing is true, almost exact, of he and his, quote, Father. Chapter 13, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having," look at this now, "seven heads, 10 horns, upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." Where have we read that description before? Well, look at chapter 12, verse 3. Just basically across the page. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Now, we're told later that that's Satan. "Having," look at it, "seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." You see, folks, this is Satan's imitation. This is his version of the incarnation. This is a man. Daniel called him the prince of the people who shall come. This is a person, a future leader. But he's also Satan's man. He is as best as the devil can imitate the visible expression of the invisible devil. So that, understand, he's not just demon-possessed. He's Satan-possessed. He's a real person. He could very well be alive, the human being himself, be alive somewhere in the world today. He's also a representative person. Think about the description and you can see how he's the anti of everything about Christ himself. Look at verse 2. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." A leopard? A leopard has spots. A leopard is a predator. Peter says that Jesus is a lamb without spot. Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear." You know, the feet of a bear? Why that? A bear's claws are menacing. His walk is clumsy and threatening. And then it says, "As a lion's teeth rip and tear." In contrast to the lips of our Lord Jesus, with grace overflowed, his steps were ordered by the Lord. Verse 2 again, "The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," same red dragon, "gave him his power." Power? Oh, yeah. "And his seat," his throne, "and great authority." All right. This man is everything that Christ is not in his ways, in his walk, and in his words. And as a man who is going to become the future ruler of the entire world, this beast also represents the entire one world empire. Totalitarian states are easily and always identified by the head of that state. You say Hitler, you say Castro, or Stalin, or Mao. You don't even need to clarify the nation. The person represents it all. As Machiavelli once wrote, the person is the state. So, sometimes when you're reading about the beast in this book, and you're going to see this, it may sound like it's the world empire, more than the individual leader. But that's very typical. In World War II, you could say Hitler invaded France. You could also say Berlin invaded France. Stalin starved Ukraine. Either way, Stalin was the source of the Holodomor. He was the one who instituted it, you see. Which brings us then to a question that the people always seem to ask about the Antichrist. And that is how? How is it that one man, a single man, is able to get not just one country or one ethnic group, how is he able to get the entire world to follow his lead? You know, it's one thing for Kim Jong-il to win over the loyalty of his people, for Mussolini to do the same for most or many of his people. But the Antichrist rises out of the sea. The sea is a picture of the Gentile nations of the entire world. How is this man able to cause this entire globe, the entire world, with all the ethnicities and nations to follow his singular lead? Well, before we look at the answer, I don't think you'll find in the Bible that the man is particularly beloved at first. In other words, it's not a given that the people of the earth just wholesale endear themselves to him right off the bat. That's not absolute. Even the Jews who are going to sign a treaty with him, they never completely trust this man. On the other hand, he does have something in his favor. He will win them over. He has, quote, strong delusions, and it starts to change the people's devotion. Remember what it says in verse 2, the last line? The dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The Antichrist is going to have supernatural powers. The dragon doesn't say that the people gave him the power. It's not a vote. Satan gave him his power, his authority. You remember what Satan offered Jesus and Jesus refused? This man's going to accept it, whoever this man is. In fact, let me just read to you how Paul describes him in 2 Thessalonians. I mentioned Paul describes him as well. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Why does the world follow him? Because he has it all. Genius, charm, spirituality, but more than all of that, supernatural power. Signs and wonders. Lying wonders. He's the ultimate man. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Let me just say this. We're going to talk about this death and resurrection, another imitation. When we get to chapter 17, it describes how it all happens. But folks, suffice it to say that verse 3, according to what we just read, the entire world wonders at him. Because it's going to appear that he has a head wound, probably an assassination. And the entire world wonders at the beast. They're in awe of him. A reminder that the tribulation period is going to be noted for a time of signs and wonders and miracles. The two witnesses that we've already looked at, they are working miracles as well. But the masterstroke of miracles for Satan is going to be when the Antichrist is wounded in the head, killed, and resurrected before the entire world. So that not only do they follow his leadership, but now they do something that is far more diabolical and far worse. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon. That's Satan worship. which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, the man, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? By the way, guess what he does to garner that question off the bat? He slays the two witnesses. Remember the two witnesses that were immortal? Nope, this guy kills him. You think that there's going to be any doubt in the minds of unbelievers of who is God in the world? Satan and his propaganda machine, at least for a while, is going to bring the entire world, the Bible says, as it were, into absolute idolatry. Worshipping Satan and worshipping Satan's man, the beast, the Antichrist. And you know, folks, this has always been Satan's greatest goal. It's just that right now, as we noted, in the world today, he is restrained somewhat. He is restricted. He can't even perform miracles today without divine permission. But imagine this. Imagine the Antichrist, by Satan, being allowed of God to reveal, for example, let's say, the great secrets of nature, to discover new cures, miracle cures, new heights of art and philosophy and science. Satan, we're told in Ezekiel, is a musician. Imagine the power of music that Satan, Lucifer, will use at this time. All of this is going to bring a deceptive sense of finally, of victory and peace in the world. And of course, for the world, the real question is, who can make war with him? Notice the question. That's an important question that God reveals to us. The real thing that they're going to ask is, this guy, we wonder at this guy, who can make war with him? Not just the nation. So if you're trying to think in your mind, well, which nation is going to have the most military power in the tribulation? Don't even think that way. It says, who's going to make war with this? It's him that people wonder. It's this man that people begin to worship. Now, think for a moment about how Satan has modeled this through all kinds of dress rehearsals through human history. The Caesars worshipped as God. Augustus. Chairman Mao took 1 billion people and led those people to worship him with his little red book that they all held up and quoted, just like it was scripture, over and over and over again from the time they were tiny. Hitler led 1 million people, a nation of educated, religious people, many of them into near puppets, screaming Heil Hitler, goose-stepping legions. People were willing to die, not just for the fatherland, they were willing to die for a man. And he's not this man. Have you ever seen the funeral scenes from Kim Jong-un? I'm talking about Kim Jong-il's father. Anybody ever seen the funeral scenes? They must be the freakiest, scariest, most bizarre man worship I've ever seen. Google it sometime. His funeral scenes all across the nation. The amount of weeping and grief and people fainting all over the place. How did he get that? Through fear, through speeches of blasphemies and lies. Imagine the Antichrist having power and oratory. Does it not blow your mind, beloved, that Daniel speaks of this man and his blasphemies also in terms of the 3.5 years? That was written centuries and centuries and centuries before this. Let me read it a little bit to you from Daniel 7. And he's talking about this last ruler. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. Given into his hand until a time, that's one, and times, that's two, it's three, and the dividing of time, that's 1/2. 3.5 this man has. And what does he do? He speaks great blasphemies. Here's what Daniel says. And this king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous, which is crazy things, against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. In other words, Satan's Messiah. He's going to use all of his supernatural powers, all of his oratorical skills. For 3.5 years, he's going to try to get the world to go to war. He's going to say, we have advances in science and technology, and peace is on its way. Man has finally achieved it. Look what I can do. I was dead, now I'm alive. Do you want immortality too? We just have one thing in our way. We have to go to war. Against whom, Pastor? Who's the enemy? Look at our text. Revelation 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's 3.5 years. That's almost a quotation of Daniel. Blasphemies. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. In other words, Satan's Messiah is going to deceive people with his words. And who's the enemy? Who's going to get the earth to go to war against? Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Well, who's in heaven? You see, folks, remember this. All the plagues, think about what we've studied so far and some of the stuff Brother Yezin taught as well. Think about all the plagues and the trumpets and the judgments and the voices were coming from where? All of those things were coming out of heaven. From there down here. It's coming down from the sky. And where did all of those intolerant Christians go? 3.5 years before this at the rapture. They went up there. They went up there. All the problems are coming from up there. And we, the beast says, if you read it correctly, we who dwell down here must defeat them up there. And of course, that begins by destroying all that they have down here. Look at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, wait a minute. Note this. Make war against the saints. There's still saints on the earth. Yes. And anywhere in the world and everywhere in the world where anyone's come to trust in the God of heaven, that God, they must be destroyed. And I'll say it again. That same animosity on a restrained scale, because the restrainer is here, it still exists now, folks. You do realize that the world, this world we live in, does not mind spirituality. They don't mind religion. Satan's the father of false religion. What they don't tolerate is the God of heaven and his son, Jesus Christ. You know, on Monday, Trevon Diggs, he's a superstar for the Dallas Cowboys. This past Monday at training camp, it was media day. And he brought his 5-year-old son, Aiden. Little Aiden had a step stool there. Little Aiden got up on the step stool so everybody could see him. And he took questions from the press. And I'm telling you, it was crazy cute. That is the cutest kid. And he was peppered with questions. He was answering those questions. Why do you wear number 7? Number 7 is my dad's number. It's my favorite number. And I love to be with my dad because he makes me so happy. And then he said, I love the world. I love the whole world. And I love God, and I love Jesus, and I love my family. Guess what both of the NFL and ESPN left out when they tweeted that quote? They left everything in except for God and Jesus. A 5-year-old censored by haters. And make no mistake, they don't hate Muhammad, had the little boy said that. They don't hate Krishna or spirituality. They hate Jesus. because of who he is. You say, Pastor, what about that? Well, I'll say this. Instead of discouraging us or swaying us, for me, it only serves me to motivates me to say his name more. Because, you know, you and I would have been on the side of the haters were it not for someone saying his name to us. Someone was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel and of Christ. People need the Lord. You have to say, what happened with ESP and NFL is not surprising, and that's hardly persecution compared to what we see in our text. But boy, it will be in the tribulation. When these kind of haters, the spirit of the Antichrist, is given more reign. Imagine, you know, you saw what happened during the days of ISIS when they beheaded people. They would bury them up to their necks and then run over them with tanks, put them in cages and set them on fire. It was horrendous, right? You'll agree, it was some of the most horrendous video we've ever seen. Do you know what most of the world did? What the world is capable of doing, the haters who hate anyone who professes Christ, it is being suppressed. Look at verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, this means something. Listen to this. Don't just read it. Don't just hear it. Understand it. Have an ear for this. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Same thing we have and are called to have, patience and faith. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. You know, God has always, always had a remnant. Amen? The patience, the faith of the saints. And even in the most severe persecution, when Satan is at his absolute worst in all of human history, great wrath, knowing he has a short time, given free reign, Antichrist, there are still faithful saints who don't deny Jesus. There are those who don't believe the lies, who don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, but who do exhibit faith and patience. And once again, God assures the persecuted in verse 10 that the oppressed will be guarded and the oppressors will be punished and justice will be done. It's one of the themes of the book. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Next time, we're going to look at this other beast. He's also called the false prophet. This is the religious leader. This guy probably wears some sort of robe. Probably has all kinds of smoke or whatever. But he's a fraud. And we're going to look at him. And you know, once again, Satan has this counterfeit, doesn't he? Think about it. The devil imitates God the Father. The Antichrist, as we just noted, imitates God the Son. False prophet will imitate God the Holy Spirit. This unholy Trinity that has as its great goal the defeat of the entire heavenly host. Ultimately getting all the saints down here, his real goal is those people up there. Because all of our problems, all the judgments, all the sounds, the woes, they're all coming from there. All the people we hated went up to there. When verse 6 speaks of his blasphemy against God, understand he's not talking about cursing and swearing. It says his blasphemy is, quote, against God. He's speaking against God. Do you not see and hear that on late night television and in our newspapers and magazines constantly over and over again? Fools make a mock at sin, and most sitcoms somewhere along the line will have blasphemies against God. Someone asked me some time ago what I thought about the arrogance and ego and bravado so prominent in our age. Have you noticed it? Hip-hop music, just ego. It's not just rap music, but professional athletes. With all that, it's all about them. Talk show hosts. You ever see a weigh-in at a heavyweight boxing match or the UFC? And listen to these men, even fake wrestlers. And yes, it's fake. Even fake wrestlers. Right? The ego, the bravado. And I told this person, it's just the spirit of these times. Pride is a virtue. Humility is a weakness. In the tribulation, if you read this and understand, this arrogance of man is going to reach new heights with the Antichrist. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he opposeth and exalteth himself all that is called God or that is worshipped. His arrogance is part of his appeal. You see that now. You say, I like that guy. He can talk trash. His arrogance is part of his appeal. But we're reminded of something very important. We read it in verse 5. It says 42 months. That's all. Not a second more. He's giving this power 42 months. Pastor Blaylock, do you know who this man is? No. For at least 50 years, people make themselves look foolish by claiming it's this guy or that guy. Right? Don't do that. And don't give anybody any validity who does that. I remember when Gorbachev was cozying up to the Pope, and it was like, whoa, Rome meets Gorbachev. And Gorbachev had that big birthmark on his forehead, and they were like, aha, see? Preachers all over country, he's the Antichrist. We knew it. It's time. They just look silly now. And anybody would. Nobody knows who he is necessarily. And you know, the positive revelation of him doesn't occur until the rapture, as far as I can tell. Pastor, I wish I knew. You know what I know? What I know, which is all that really matters, is who the real Christ is. We know who the Savior is. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. Of course it is. And his number is 666. Pastor, what's that all about? We're going to look at some of that next time. For tonight, I thank God. The same one who told us about the Antichrist said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Until the Lord Jesus comes and takes us up, we'll keep believing this book and not be ashamed of saying that we love God and we love our family and we love Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, we know that we are in a spiritual battle in this world, and we know that we're only on the winning side because of your grace and your mercy. That someone shared Jesus with us, and we thank you. Thank you for so great salvation, and help us to be faithful, the faith and patience of the saints today. And help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And also, Father, we praise you tonight for showing us the reality and the truth of greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, because he's greater even when the world is being led by the Antichrist. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your truth. Help us to represent you here now in this earth until Christ comes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.